Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to Tri-County Church. So we will start. Yes. Right here. So we have been studying the Gospel of John, and Chris mentioned 2 weeks ago that from chapter 1 to the 11, it covers a period of time of, some people say 3 years, 3 years and a half. In this case, there is another time there. But the point is that from the 12 to the end, it covers 1 week, the last week of the life of Christ in the earth. And this, we will study today, chapter 12. And it is Saturday, I think so. Let's start reading. Let's go to the John chapter 12, verse 1. But first, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to study the Bible and read the scriptures. And Lord, please speak through me and help us to understand and get more understanding of what was going on here and what we can learn from our Lord Jesus. And please be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Let's read. So 6 days before the Passover, I'm reading verse 1. It said, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, who Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. And then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put into it. So this is the conversation, right? In Bethany, you see there. No, you don't see it, but now you see it. There is Bethany, right? This town was like 2 miles from Jerusalem, right? You see at the top the temple. So Jesus was there. It was Saturday, and in this passage, we will see two extremes, right? One is Mary, and the other one is Judas. So by this time, Jesus is living in a time which was polarized, right? Two extremes. There were people that really hate him, and there were people that really love him. There was devotion and rejection. There was faith and unbelief. There were sheep and goats, right?
Right.
Polarization, right? And every day is very intense for Jesus, right? And here is Jesus with Lazarus. And can you imagine that time, right? Jesus is with these people, but I want to in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. In those passages, mentioned that this dinner took place in the Simon the leper house. Mm-hmm. So John doesn't mention the house. John says in Bethany a dinner was given, right? It doesn't say that was the house of Mary or Lazarus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the point is, just try to imagine that time. The conversation on the table, you are talking with the ex-leper and with the ex-dead man at the table, right? Because Simon doesn't have leper anymore, otherwise he couldn't be there, right? Mm-hmm. And Lazarus is no longer dead, so they are having the conversation. I don't know what kind of conversation, but they are there. And then Mary appeared, right? And Mary, overwhelmed with love for Jesus, took these expensive perfumes and poured on Jesus' feet. Let's think about it. What would it take to do this action in that ancient time? Thinking a woman doing this, right? So the first thing that comes to my mind is she was extremely humble, because washing feet was a duty done by slaves, mm-hmm, or the lowest ranking member of the household, mm-hmm, who used to wash the feet of whatever comes to the house. And Mary is doing that. The second thing that comes to my mind is boldness. So instead of using a towel to dry Jesus' feet, she used her hair. Mm-hmm. And when I was trying to imagine that situation, well, it's Mary washing the hair, that was too close, you know, drying his feet with her hair and expressing her love, her devotion, recognition for Jesus. And doing this for a woman could be risk a lot, because he could say, oh, stop, or reject, right? How will you feel if when you get rejected, right? And also, the third thing, number three, is sacrifice. It took sacrifice, because the salary of a year is just poured right there at Jesus' feet.
Wow.
So, and something that really, really caught my attention is what Jesus said right there. He said, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for my day of my burial. You always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. And I really like how Jesus is dealing with the time, right? So basically Jesus is saying, all right, it is good to take care of poor, but not now, mm-hmm, not in this very moment. This very moment is for something else. Mm-hmm. You will not always will happen. So, 14, if you go there, Mark 14, verse 6, it says, why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. And that really touched my heart, because Jesus appreciates what she's doing, right? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Mm-hmm. Jesus is not worried or upset for that expression of love. And in my culture, I don't know if in this American culture also, but in my culture, when it is uncomfortable receiving too much help or too much affection sometimes, Because we feel like, I don't want to bother you. Please don't, not too much. But it could be a mix, right? The root of that feeling could be a mix of pride, be prideful, and not willing to bother another. So, but Jesus has no problem. He said, Jesus didn't say, hey, Mary, don't, please stop. Don't, mm-hmm. It's too much. It's too mm-hmm. much what you are doing. No. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. Mm. And that really made me think, how am I or how you are? So you are like, no, this is not necessary. Don't worry. What I mean is, I'm still working on this, right? When it's time, when it is okay that somebody wants to help you, and you are thinking like, no, that's too much, but they are willing, you are not forced.
Amen.
Them, right?
That's right.
And I think as a disciple, I have to learn also, right? Sometimes when we move from country to different churches, like this time here in Jackson, the church has been so grateful to us, to my family and I. And sometimes I feel like, oh no, it is too much. But I have to learn, because people is doing because they want to.
Yeah. No. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have to learn also to let me, you know? Mm-hmm. Jesus, and this really touched my heart. So, the question is, think in your life, something that you have done of which Jesus could say, you have done a beautiful thing to me.
Ooh, wow, that's great.
How overwhelming is your love for Jesus compared with Mary? And I made those questions to myself, and it really, really made me reconsider, yes, my life as a follower of Jesus. And yeah, so the other extreme is Judas, right? So, not yet. So Judas was indignant, believing that the money could have been used to help the poor. But his real motivation was the money. The money, it was explained in the verse 6, right? And do you think that Judas really believed that Jesus was the Messiah? So do really Judas appreciate Jesus? Because if you continue reading the Bible, you will see that Judas sold Jesus by 30 pieces of silver, right? That was equivalent to 4 months of wages? Yeah, 4 months. So for the perfume cost 1 year.
Yeah.
So that means for Judas, the price of Jesus is 1/3
wow.
of the perfume.
Wow.
Right? So this is the other extreme. So for Judas, the price of Jesus was
right.
What was the price for Mary?
Yeah.
For Mary was the whole.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And this is the two opposite things, right? So Jesus is incredible, right? And let's continue. So after this, Jesus went to the, let's continue reading, verse 12. Next day, that is Sunday, right? Next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Don't be afraid, O daughter of Zion. You see your king is coming, seated in a donkey's colt. At the first, his disciples didn't understand all this, Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things has been written about him and that they had done these things on to him. So I really like this verse, and I highlight in yellow, the disciples did not understand. That includes the author. The author is John, right? Mm-hmm. John didn't understand what was going on at that time. Wrote, reading, mm-hmm. 30 or 40 years after all those things happened,
right?
So the author already know the end of the movie, right?
right.
And he's saying this because even himself didn't understand what was going on. But after Jesus was glorified, he said, oh, now that makes sense. Now I understand why Jesus did or said such thing. Mm-hmm. And that really gave me some hope, because there are several scriptures that I don't fully understand. There are the love of God I don't fully understand. The grace of God I don't fully understand yet, right? But I have the hope that if I keep faithful, seeking for God, seeking for Jesus, I will someday, right? So that's my hope. So, and yeah, that really helped me. And now you see two pictures, right? Jesus riding a donkey. In that time, that was a kind of message that Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem signified his arrival as a peace or humble king, fulfilling a prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. So, but riding a horse or stallion, it's a horse uses for the war, means a king, a conquering king coming, right?
Yeah.
So there are two pictures. So the people in Jerusalem hope they were waiting for somebody like the other picture, right? But he came peaceful. But in Revelations, if you go to Revelations, right, you will see another picture of the second coming of Jesus, more described, more close to that one. To the arrival, right? So, but this time he came peaceful. And then, let's continue in verse 20. It says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it is died, it produces many seeds. Let's stop right there. So this is the first time Jesus saying the time has come. So do you remember when he turned the water in wine into wine?
Yeah.
He said, woman, my time my time has not yet come. And when the brothers asked him to go to the Feast of Tabernacles to show himself and whatever, he said, no, my time is not come yet. But here is different, right?
Yeah.
He knows that the time has come. This is probably Sunday or the last week, and he knows that in a few weeks he will be crucified. How will be you deal with that, knowing that you are about to experience an extreme suffering, right? And still letting him to enjoy the expression of Mary, right?
Yeah.
And So, yeah, now everything has changed.
Yeah.
And he called their attention, saying, "I very truly tell you, the kernel of wheat has to die," referring to himself. And I was thinking, because sometimes I think, well, Jesus was God. He didn't fear, he didn't, it was easy for him, maybe, just to be crucified.
Right.
But I don't see that in this verse. He said, now my soul is troubled, right? And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. So that word trouble, right, made me think that Jesus is experiencing something really extreme. So I was looking for that very word, and there is another meaning. Trouble means to be terrified, also to be dismayed. So this word describes the humanity of Jesus, expressing Jesus is going through this kind of feeling that you may feel also sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
But still, he said, What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? He said, no. And that is something that, wow, despite of his suffering, he remains focused on fulfilling God's will.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something really amazing, because I can trust that Jesus can understand what I'm feeling.
Yes.
But at the same time, he expects me to obey, and he expect you to obey. I mean, he knows, he went through that situation before you.
Yeah.
But still he said, still you have to glorify the Father. And that, I'm still dealing with that, because that is hard, you know, to live every day for me. And so I want to go back. That word hate did really, really, I have some problems with that word, because I said, hate my life, and this word, I love my wife with my wife and my kids, and I love it, so why I have to hate my life, right? But the meaning of hate is not what we understand. The translation, the meaning that we give to that word is not what he's trying to say. So that word hate also in this context means love less. Esteem less. Yeah, whoever, he's saying, love less your life than, right, compare.
Right.
And he said, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it. So, hate, in this context, is, he also wants to say, whatever it is against the spiritual, you have to hate that. Whatever is in your life that is making you to reject the spiritual, you have to hate. So hate your life in this world means willing to deny yourself pleasure.
That's right.
For his divine purpose. This is what he's saying here. He's trying to say, you have to deny yourself pleasure for his will, to do his will. right? And that takes some time. And I like this because he's asking for that because he did it before, right?
Right.
So he's not willing to. He's not willing. You see here, he's not willing to. He said, should I say, save me from this hour? He said, no. I mean, he's going through that. And I'll stop there. Thank you so much. I hope that this helped you a little bit.
Amen.
And thank you.